Good morning, everybody. All you people out in the Narthex, unless you're a kid making breakfast, get it in here. So glad you're here. I will shut up comparatively quickly. A couple of good things and a couple of things that are not very easy. I had the opportunity to spend some time with Carl yesterday, and we had a good visit. He is doing well enough that he would appreciate phone calls and visits. He's at Spring Creek, okay? And he's had some hard decisions to make. And keep him in your prayers, okay?
Is that an Adrian pastor?
It's... Well, Phyllis, yesterday that was a definite maybe. Yeah, and
probably changes every day.
Yeah, it's a lot. He had a very good day yesterday, and if he has several more very good days, then home will happen. They are watching him very closely. So do keep him in your prayers, okay? And the other thing is that we got word that Paul died this morning. Pardon?
Yesterday morning.
Yes, it was yesterday morning?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so keep the family in your prayers. Okay. He's celebrating his birthday in heaven, mm-hmm. And he's with Wilda. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. They're going on their walks again. They're going on their walks again. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now I will shut up. Thank you for being liturgist.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It looks like we are starting with a quarrel.
No.
No, we're not doing that?
No.
Okay, guess we're not. Okay, so if you will join me, we will start with our call to worship. And please stand if you are able. This is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love those of the family of faith.
By this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for each other.
Let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth.
And now, if you'll please join me for hymn number 92.
Thank you.
please take a moment and celebrate the peace.
Amen. I'm going to do a children's thing, okay? But there won't be any children. For the child in each of us. You won't behave. That's, hey. But most kids are better behaved than big people. Yeah. That's called being an adult, Kim. Being unsupervised. As we go to prayer, okay, we shared with you the situation of two of us and family. Take a moment to look at the prayer request included on the bulletin insert, and there's so much going on among us and with people that we're connected with. Some of it is there's part of me that wants, I'll put it this way, okay? Often we think that we're the only ones going through what we're going through right now. And we're not. There are people around us, people that we know, even people we love that are going through stuff. Might be physical, it might be relational, it might be money issues, might be health, okay? And the most important thing that we need is the reminder we're not alone. The power of our faith is that Jesus is with us. We are not alone. Got a phone call yesterday from people that are special to Susie and I. And on one hand, it was it was a good opportunity for us, for Susie and I, to remind them they're not alone and that we love them, okay? And it was also a very powerful reminder that it's probably a good thing that we don't have adult kids, because they wouldn't survive very long. Okay. We have our family issues. There's stuff that we have to work out. The focus of working things out is not, are we right or are we wrong? The focus is, are we allowing the presence of the loving God into the relationship? I wish that one was easy. It's not. More and more you hear from me, I know it's not easy. And I do. Okay? But I also know it's worth it to walk with Jesus. To realize that I'm not alone. Okay? And amongst the gifts that we give to each other is not just reminding each other that we're not alone. Okay. Do you ever consider that one of the meanings of discipleship is that somehow, some way, we let Jesus show through us so that other people see that Jesus doesn't leave us or them alone to handle it all by themselves? When we look at things that are going on in our own lives, some of it's really messy and hard to deal with. When we look at what's going on in the state, in the nation, in the world, it's messy, really messy, and hard to deal with. Okay. Holy Scripture starts with a statement of faith. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God will not let us or any of God's creation slip through the divine fingers. He's still creating us. Let us pray. Our blessed Jesus, we talk an awful lot about you, and we say lots of important things. Too often we forget that the most important thing that we can say is that you showed up. You brought the love of God here. You showed up and you lived God's love. You showed up and you showed what the kingdom of God looks like by making the kingdom present in your here and now and in the people that were around you in their here and now. You showed them by the healings you did that there's no disease or sickness in the kingdom of God. By being generous, you showed them that there is no poverty, there's no nakedness, there's no homelessness in the kingdom of God. By feeding thousands, you showed that there's no hunger in the kingdom of God. You showed up to tell us Dad loves us. That love is always available to us. It's always a gift that's there. And all we have to do is accept it. We tend to forget that no gift is a gift until a person accepts it. Help us to receive your gift, Lord Jesus. Help us to receive all the blessings of the kingdom of God. It's for that kingdom we pray every time we join our voices together in the words you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take a moment to listen to God in silence. God will speak in turn during our time of prayer. We thank you, O Lord. Amen.
Now, if you'll join me for a prayer of intercession, please. Our Creator, we would love your world and the people in it. The world has so much to offer us, and we are grateful for every bit of it. We are aware that all is not well with our world. So often we see in the eyes of our neighbors a vacant stare or a glazed over emptiness. The signs of captivity in a ghetto of indifference, sorrow, and loneliness. For so many people, life seems to be nothing but a cage. Let it not be so for us, O God. You have given to each of us our portion of the joy that is in Christ. May we share that joy, and may your fullness fill the hearts of those around us. Fill them as you promised to fill us. May the world and the people in it come alive as the life you offer in Christ spreads through us to others. We pray for them because we love them, and we love them because you have first loved us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now please stand for the Gloria if you are able.
Seated, unless you're in the choir.
If you want to stand, come on up.
You have to come on up. Plenty of room.
Thank you for that blessing. Thanks. We were wondering. You heard that. Does she? Thank you for coming. I'm so glad to see you. Now, I'm going to ask you the most important question of the week.
You got to answer.
Are the big people driving you crazy? There is a government. See, this is why it's time with the children and not with the big kids. Kim?
I'd be there if I could sit.
he said I'm gonna come for the moments with the children, and I said, he said, is that okay? And I said, no. I said, The big kids are always harder to handle than the little kids.
They are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
It is.
Well, it's. I'm going to give you a challenge. Before you get up.
You won't get a sucker.
I can get up. You can get up, girl. Yes. Yes. Do we have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, she's taking
it. Just mimicking the kids, had to make it feel, you know, authentic up here,
right? She told me not to talk.
That's probably not the first.
Don't listen to him.
Too bad, Jay. Too bad. Would you hold my frog? Thank you. Would you hold my bunny?
Can you say that in Clinton?
My spool of thread. See, I would give you one of my sucker whistles, but I can't trust you.
For sure.
Okay.
Too many times. That's what you get for having your kids sermon about the kids.
So how are things going for you?
Going well.
Going well?
Yeah.
Okay. And we already answered the question, are the big people driving you crazy? And the answer is always. Okay. Now, I brought something to share with us, okay? You are more likely to be able to identify it than the little kids. All right? Sometimes we make special tools to help us do special jobs, to make them easier, to make them better. One of the things that we tend to forget is that God does the same thing, but with us. God makes us each special in some way because there's something that God wants us to do for the kingdom. Now, do you recognize what this is? What is it?
It's over.
Good job, Alice. You got it on first blush. Okay. It is a hard question. Now, explain to me why the paint can opener on one end has a bottle opener on the other. See, I told you the big kids would be more problematic. The conversation is mostly going in the direction of the bottle opener is to deal with things that have resulted from opening the paint can.
What is it? More enjoyable.
Well, I understand that, but how come it can also be used as a bottle opener? Okay. The good part of the way the conversation is going is we often don't understand the reasons that we have little things that we do well. Okay. We recognize the paint can opener. What's the reason for the bottle opener? Pardon? If you're wise, you wait until after you paint. Okay.
Sure.
It's something this simple is a multi-tool. Okay. And one of the things that amazes me is that God does the same thing with us. Each of us is a multi-tool. Part of the challenge is to figure out where we will do the best job. Okay. Everybody has a reason for being. Everybody. The hard part sometimes is finding out what we do best. And it's okay to explore. It's not okay to harm others. It's not okay to harm yourself. It's wonderful when we do good. But most of all, we have to pay attention to God. Now, because you're big people, I can ask the question, what did I just do? I reminded you of the general rules of the church. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you make us instruments of your love. So often we have trouble figuring out just exactly what that's going to mean for us. However, the thing that we know for certain is we have a reason for being. And that reason for being will, above all else, show your love for us and for each other. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Amen. Now, I need help not to get up, but I probably need help to get up. But today is noisy. Do you play basketball? Oh, okay. It's noisy coin Sunday. And there's a special treat for you over here. Thank you. No. I've got to sort out my weight. Okay. Poor David almost did a header on me last Sunday. Thank you.
buying the suckers next month.
Take care of them, Sandy. Leslie, make noise. Thank you. Uh-oh, choir.
Come on, Leslie.
It's supposed to be noisy offering. It is targeted toward maintaining our relationship with the larger church. And if you want to know the details of what that means, talk to Lisa. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you did indeed show up. We thank you that you suffered and died. We thank you that you rose again. We thank you because we know you're going to come back. Oh Lord, take us, take our gifts. Use all, oh Lord, to bring others into the kingdom until you come back to welcome us all. Hear our prayer. Amen. Number 397. Amen.
Amen.
Beautifully sung. Beautifully played, Martha. You may be seated. Oh, you already sat down. That's okay. That works. Our scripture focus for this morning is going to be Isaiah 58, the fifth verse. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush, or to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Your homework is to read the rest of Isaiah 58. You know what today is?
Sunday.
It's also the last Sunday before the start of Lent. Okay. You know what your job is between now and Ash Wednesday. You're supposed to eat up all the meat in your house. Okay. That's what Mardi Gras originally was about. Okay. You eat up all the meat in your house and you throw a party. You have friends over and you have a good time. Why? Because guess who's going to be doing without meat for the next 6 weeks? At one time, it's okay to not be Catholic. But at one point, okay, at one point for more than 1,000 years, Lent was the time that you gave up everything. Okay? You gave up everything. It wasn't just one thing. Okay? You gave up everything. And the reason you gave up everything was you were getting ready to celebrate the anniversary of your baptism. In the early church, okay, most Christians were baptized on Easter Sunday morning at sunrise because that was the moment that God opened the doors to his kingdom through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Bet they didn't teach you that in catechism. This passage from Isaiah is about the character of worship. Some of us have had some good conversations. Some of them have been rather intense conversations about how do we know what we do on Sunday morning is worship? Now I'm going to start, okay, with a focus on the hardest part of a trip. You know what the hardest part of any even really good trip is? It's packing. You know what the hardest part of packing is about? It's about what not to take. Okay? In one of the parishes I served, we had a dear couple that, Wayne and Cecilia, okay, and we could tell whether we were going to not see them for a week or a month. You need to understand they're in their 80s, okay? We would know whether we were going to see them for the next week or month or even longer if they had their backpacks in their car. No matter how long the trip was, okay? They made a month-long trip to Europe. backpack. Okay? A backpack. Now, I didn't ask this question, okay, but my wife did. What did you do for clean underwear? No. They invested in fast-drying underwear, and they washed it out every other day. Okay. Now, it's what not to take. It's deciding what we really need, and we find we take stuff that we never even touch the whole time we are gone. Okay. You don't want to know the details of the exchanges between my wife and me when she doesn't touch half of what she brought in her suitcase. It's deciding what we can get when we arrive instead of carrying it with us. And all of that got me thinking about Lent. Okay? Next Sunday is the first Sunday in the holy season of Lent. And mostly Lent doesn't mean much to us Christians anymore. Most Christians are clueless as to what Lent is about. We don't use words like holiness or piety much anymore. They've lost their meanings. Or the meanings have become so narrow that it's pretty much worthless. Things all end up being deeply negative. Okay? Y'all still ask each other, what are you giving up for Lent? A lot of people don't even bother to do that anymore. Give up something for Lent. Okay. I generally give up lima beans. Brussels sprouts. Do you understand there's comedians in the choir? Okay. So what is Lent about? Don't get me going now. Lent's about getting our hearts, our heads, and our lives ready for the big annual celebration of the resurrection. Now we call it Easter. Okay. We may actually dress up. You still get new clothes for Easter? A lot of people don't anymore, but used to be, you could tell the two times of the year when people did their heavy clothes shopping was Christmas and Easter. Okay, Christmas and Easter. Okay, now we have lots of candy and food, and we may even go to church somewhere. Do you know why we're here on Sunday morning? Okay, and the reason for worshiping on Sunday morning is this is the weekly anniversary of the resurrection. I know Bill had to face challenges about, okay, how come we're not worshiping on Saturday? I know that question came up, Bill, probably more than once. I can tell by the smile. We worship on Sunday to celebrate the resurrection. Okay. If we were being consistent with the early church, we would meet at sunrise, whatever time sunrise would be. On Sunday morning. Okay. Now, we talk about how hard it is to believe today. However, it isn't any harder than when Christianity first began. The resurrection has always been difficult for people. It's been hard even for Christians to wrap their heads and their hearts around it. Read the New Testament. And you'll find that people had to grow in faith. They had to sort out what it all means for themselves. They had to keep discovering the risen Christ again and again and again. And they had to do it in new ways with new meanings. Pretty quickly, Christians found that the resurrection is about victory over death. The victory was not just for Jesus, okay? Even during Jesus' lifetime, okay? He was the instrument of several resurrections of other people. Lazarus was one of them. He was going into town one day, and a young man's funeral was passing. And he took the young man's hand and said, "Get up." And he did. That victory, the one that we celebrate this morning, that we'll celebrate on Easter Sunday, is not just for Jesus, it's for each of us. The other thing that Christians found is that the resurrection opened the door to God's kingdom. It not only opened the door wide, it also gave an invitation to come in. We generally don't talk about the kingdom of God and the resurrection this way. There was a time when Christianity was young. It was energetic. It was not popular. It was illegal. It was underground. And Christians were described as the people that turned the world upside down. We were talking this morning during coffee with Mike, okay? Can you imagine a time when Christians were considered anarchist, atheist, and totally unpatriotic? Welcome to the first and second century churches. Christians, atheists? Yeah, you don't believe in the pantheon of gods. You don't believe that the emperor is the king of the gods. You're an atheist. Okay? You're an atheist. You're an anarchist because you don't believe that the emperor is head of all the government. And doesn't have any right to be the head of the government. Okay? And Christians were draft dodgers. They wouldn't serve in the emperor's army. Why? Because in order to serve in the emperor's army, you had to salute the emperor's flag. Okay, you had to salute the emperor's flag. That was what early Christians were dealing with. Okay, it wasn't easy to join the church. When a person was admitted to the church, it was the same as being admitted to the kingdom of God. It was a citizenship thing. To become a Christian meant a person became a citizen of the kingdom of God. A person went through a period of training. It was called catechism. Okay? It could take a year. During the training, the pupil couldn't even stay for the whole worship. Before the Lord's Supper, the pupils were told to leave. Okay? Some priest in the Eastern Orthodox tradition still do it, okay? When the main worship service is over and the Eucharist is about to begin, the priest will in all solemnity announce, "Catechumens get out, catechumens get out, catechumens get out." And we'll wait for them to leave. Don't worry, I won't do that to you. Okay. Now, the training mostly had one purpose. It was to get a person ready to enter God's kingdom by way of baptism. Most baptisms were done on Easter Sunday. The training period later got reduced to the 6 weeks before Easter. We call that Lent now. Later yet, people used Lent to remember their baptism. So Lent was about getting ready to go into God's kingdom. The early Christian community turned to Isaiah over and over again. And one of the things that Isaiah did was he pictured how God's chosen one would look. The picture was powerful. It changed what people expected, and they didn't want to hear it. The prophet told people other stuff they didn't want to hear. He told them that they were getting piety all wrong. He told them that they didn't understand holiness. Now you know where I stole my sermon from. Isaiah. Piety and holiness go together. You can't break them apart. We think of them as describing how we relate to God, and that's part of what they're about. We think of them in terms of thou shalt not. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this other thing. We think of fasting as giving up stuff. It's like a kind of punishment. We think of prayer as talking and talking and talking to God. We do it so God will love us more, we think. Okay? We do it so we can get our way with God. You ever play Let's Make a Deal with God? Doesn't work real well. We think that piety and holiness are the way we get room in the kingdom. And we make ourselves and others miserable in the process. Isaiah tried to make it clear, piety, holiness, fasting, prayer, they aren't about getting God to do what we want. They aren't about forcing other people to believe or behave the way we want. They aren't about getting God to make room for us in the kingdom of God. All of those are about us making room in our lives for God. They're about us making room in our lives for our neighbor. They are about us getting ready for the arrival of the kingdom right now. They are about us deciding what we really need for the kingdom. They are about us deciding what we are going to leave behind. They are about changing ourselves for the better and doing it from the inside out. Another way of putting things is this: fasting, prayer, piety, and holiness are not about being right. They are about being humble. Pay careful attention to that word. Notice I didn't say humbled. About being humble. Being humble has lots of meanings. Simply because of the way the word woke is being abused now, I'm reticent to say this, but being humble mostly means that we're awake. Doesn't mean that we're liberal. It means that we see what's going on, that we are conscious, we are aware. It means we know that we are not our own. It means we know we can't make it through life by ourselves. It means we realize we are just as human and just as needy as every other person. It means we do for others not only what we want them to do for us, it means that we do for others what we want God to do for us. It was real hard for me to start dealing with it that way. Treating other people, okay, the way I want God to treat me, the way I want God to treat us. Ouch. You read the rest of chapter 58, okay? What Isaiah says is, you declare a fast, okay? You get all dirty because part of the process was wearing ripped clothes and throwing ashes over yourself. And you quit eating food. Okay? What Isaiah says is the fast that God wants is, God wants you to dress up. Okay? God wants you to dress up. And God wants you to throw a party. And at the party, you're so busy taking care of other people, you don't have time to eat. Ooh. I was talking with a friend about mom sitting at the head of the table, and she got into it with a daughter saying, I don't like that family tradition because there's the head of the table. And her mom was afraid to tell her, do you know the real reason I sit at the head of the table? That's it. Okay. It cut down the steps to the kitchen. So, is what we're going to do the next few weeks in Lent any kind of fast? Will we do anything to make room for God? That's what holiness is. Holiness is we get all the junk out of our lives so that there's room for God. Okay? We're like hoarders with a full attic. And we say, hey, God, come be with me. But I'm going to put you in the attic where all my other junk is. Will we unpack and get rid of our needless baggage? Will we leave behind all the stuff that will slow us down or get in our way? Will we make more room in our lives for God? Will we let God make us better people? Okay. Will we let God get us ready to be forever with Him in His kingdom? You've heard me describe the good news that Jesus brought, taught, and lived. Dad loves you. Dad wants you to come home. Anytime. You can come home anytime. Here are the keys to Dad's house. You can always get in. Okay, and we forget the last part of what Jesus lived and taught. Don't come by yourself. When we all get there, Dad's going to throw an unbelievably wonderful party that will last forever. We're starting Lent. How are we going to get ready for Resurrection Sunday? How will resurrection happen for us? Amen? Amen. Thank you. I only went 10 minutes over. Amen. Amen. Well, I apologize to you, but my big kids were a handful. On somebody. We already know the preacher can't tell time. Now,
I'm a big kid.
The reason there have been no children with us this morning is because
they're
throwing a feast for us. Okay? The hamburgers and hot dogs look outrageously good. And there's other food out there, so don't rush off.
There's plenty.
There is plenty. And I will defer to you now.
If you'll stand and join in the last hymn, number 374, Standing on the Promises. You'll join me in the benediction. Dismiss us now, O Lord, with your blessing and accompany your grace. Sorry. That we may from this moment live in peace, love and holiness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Yes.
She just called me and she's leaving Arizona. Tomorrow morning to come here, and it's going to take her 4 days to make it.
Okay.
And they have snow and freezing rain.
Oh, dear.
So please
keep her in your prayers.
Keep Barb in your prayers that she makes it okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only way she could get here faster if God would perform a miracle and take away her fear of flying. Do you have announcements?
Mm-hmm, I have a few.
Okay. Before you leave, I would like to grant the request of our hosts for brunch, and that is to do the grace in here. Okay? So.
Okay. I have a thank you to read. Many thanks to our caring church family for their prayers, kind words, cards, and the prayer quilt. We are truly blessed. Thanks so much, Tom and Pam. You're going to see we've got some new little blue sheets around. These are the upcoming events here at the church, so if you want one or you want to pass some out to friends and let them know what's going on,
would
be nice.
Those sheets are actually multicolored, just as more blue than
any
other color.
Okay. Family Fun Night is coming up on the 24th. Yes. Linda would like RSVPs for that. So if you're planning to attend, please let her know, because if she doesn't get enough RSVPs, she won't be having the event. Okay? And I guess just one more announcement. Last week we passed out your end of the year, a little report, congregation, our 12, our good things list, and there was something else. What else did we have, Luann?
Was our good list?
Well, anyways.
It's in there.
There should be some out on the table. So if you weren't here last week, you can pick that up and take a look. If you have any questions, let us know. Okay? All right.
Also, please excuse the construction of ceiling tiles removed in the women's bathroom and the kitchen. The electrical work began Saturday for installing the hot water tank in the women's bathroom. And that hopefully the electrician will be here Monday to hopefully wrap that up and we can get the ceiling tiles back in place at that point.
And the men's club will also be having the sunrise breakfast between the early in 11 o'clock service on Easter. When we get a little bit closer, we'll be putting up sign-up sheets to sign up if you want to come. If you don't sign up, still come. We will have extra. We just kind of want to get an idea how many we need to prepare for. And we'll also have a list for anyone who wants to donate. Oh, she's not here. Sticky buns, breakfast casseroles, juice or anything, we'll have that out there as well. So keep an eye out for those. Thank you.
Todd already put the paper out to sign up for the gym. Okay. So make sure you sign up today.
Yes.
All right.
Let's bow for our blessing for the meal. Our Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we commune in many ways. We've talked, O Lord, about love feasts. Let our time around the table after worship this morning be a love feast focused on you. Hear our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And one last thing. Thanks to my computer printer that spit out almost a dozen copies of my sermon. I have extra copies of my sermon this morning if you're interested.